everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Amari alongside will take you to three. Normally, we'd be handing it off to our buddy Phil Venati, but as was the case yesterday, because the Giants are starting so early in Pittsburgh at 3:10 pre, Phil will not be with us on air today. Tomorrow he'll get back to normal because the Giants have a morning game tomorrow. I'll tell you all about the schedule and try to not lament last night's Giants game. You know, Aaron Judge is going to come back tonight for the Yankees. Aaron, of course, Yankees front and center in every way, shape, or form, but also grew up a Giants fan. He's made no secret of it. And I would say that his two teams for the moment, his Yankees he's playing for and his beloved Giants, both have found new and less than exciting ways to lose games late. And yesterday was a prime example for both. So if we have a chance to talk about that, we will. But I will probably push that aside, but certainly tell you about the upcoming schedule a little bit later on, courtesy of our buddy Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management. It's all there under one roof. Give them a call at 449-4500 or check it out on the web at precisioneng.net. And again, a little later on, I'll tell you about Engineering Yardage, the great fundraiser that Ed has for Fresno State through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus at a proud graduate. Engineering Yardage entering its fifth year. For every year gained through the year for the last 4 years, a donation has been made to the Lyles College of Engineering by Ed and the great business that is Precision Civil Engineering. I'll tell you all about that a little bit later on. Jackson Moore with me, our de facto co-host for the first of two visits during the week. Get to that in just a moment. But first, other lead dogs want to spend some time with you. One, at 2:08 in the afternoon, if you're looking for a late lunch or an early dinner or just planning dinner or just want to slide on out of work for the moment and have a second lunch, whatever you'd like, don't forget our buddies at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman right now promoting the terrific F1 movie, F1, the movie all about Formula One racing with Brad Pitt. And in celebration of that, they have their great $7 Phillips back for the summer. For $7, you can choose from crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl. Each come with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. You can also check out the great peaches and cream sweet lightning soda to top it all off. That's brand new. That is the offer each and every day at the KFCs. Don't forget, today in particular, every Tuesday, you still have that other great opportunity, which is the $10 eight-piece bucket. Again, talking about dark meat pieces, extra crispy or original. Also, you have the tenders there. It's all for just $10 on Tuesdays. And Wednesdays, you have country fried steak for just $5.99. So stop by the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Stop in, grab a bucket or two. Haven't heard from Clovis Dave in a while. Dave, if you're out there, I'd like to know if your Tuesday streak is still alive about stopping by KFC to pick up a bucket or two. Also, if you do that, slide on by here and drop one off or two off if you'd like. But also want to remind you that if you stop in, pick up your buckets and tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. It's so very, very important for Fresno State to have an international, national and local entity like KFC aboard to help out with BulldogBread.com, which is the NIL arm for Fresno State. And again, thanks to those operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. All right, the other two reminders. One, the weather every day and for a good long while. Our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing have allowed us the time to chat about the weather. Terrific local people, been in the Central Valley since 1981. See the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them to do work even during COVID. Really professional people, very timely. If you need them, give them a call. They have that checkup for you, special deal to make sure your AC is functioning. We have been in a real good place here weather-wise, but we're about to climb back into solid triple digits very, very shortly. So if you have any issue at all or you haven't had it checked out yet, here we are in August, for goodness sake, then make sure you give them a call at 825-5337, which is 825-LEES, or check them out on the web at leesair.com. They also sponsor the leesair.com hotline, That's 559-320-1430. That's how we bring our guests up and how Phil also brings callers from the general public up, so you can give him a call anytime he's on the air. As far as the forecast goes, again, very pleasant today, a low around 67, a high of 95, with the winds right around 8 to 10 miles an hour, just perfect. Of course, got to keep in mind the wildfires down Santa Barbara, San Luis Obispo way that can impact our air quality. Boy, the east is really going through it, the northeast, because of what's going on in Canada with the wildfires. But 95 today, 99 tomorrow, and then we start to get to what we are more familiar with this time of year. 102 on Thursday, 103 Friday, 104 Saturday. Luckily, that escalator stops for the moment, otherwise we keep on going. But it does go 103, 102, 101, 100, 100 in the 10 days. So you get the drift. After today and tomorrow, you're looking at temperatures at triple digits, but nothing that is all that onerous. As we've mentioned many times before, growing up here, acclimation tells you, because the humidity is low, 102 and below, I think you're okay. Naturally hydrate, be careful all the time. But it only becomes really a problem when you're consistently above that mark. And we certainly don't want to be cruising in where we were last summer, around 114 or so. So this is still a good forecast, but it is starting to warm up a little bit more. But anyway, enjoy it. One more time, if you're around the waterways, please be very careful. Thanks, everybody, at Lee's again for allowing us the time. Again, 825-5337-825-LEES. Anything you need, central air, plumbing, heating, or roofing. And, of course, you can find them on the web at leesair.com. The final reminder comes courtesy of our longtime friend and longtime sponsor, Joe Cruz, who has been a booster for Fresno State now for over three decades and is celebrating the 25th anniversary of his terrific business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Mention this every day. If you're someone working around a plant, if you're a maintenance person, if you're anybody who's around a boiler service, anything you need, dealing with valves and chemical food-grade hoses, anything along those lines, the best in the valley you're going to find right there in-house at 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, because Joe and those guys take great pride in their quality components, their quality products, and also their same-day service, because they're well aware if you have a valve that you're relying upon and it goes down, your business goes down with it. So the same-day estimates, the same-day service, the very family-friendly touch means if you stop by 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103, or give Joe or Gabe a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE, or go to the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or hit Gabe on his email at gabe.sps@gmail.com. Any of those avenues, they'll be able to help you. Tell them what the issue might be, and they will tell you right away what they can do. The pipe fittings, the valves, the sanitary fittings, the food-grade chemical hoses, the suction hoses, everything there. And if you have any kind of issue, hit them up. They'll take care of you right away. And once that is taken care of, if you have some time, Joe will sit down with you and tell you what he does for Fresno State and will point you to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. Click on that. It'll take you to different areas of donation. BulldogFoundation.org is there, Myers Champion Circle, information for tickets and parking for all events on campus, including Sakura coming up. And also, you've got the sports clubs where your money is directed to that specific sport. That way you can choose that the money's head to football only or to men's basketball or women's basketball, whatever you'd like. There are specific links there. For instance, quarterback club for football. You've got, for men's basketball, the timeout club. Jack Ferdy with me every week to talk basketball on the board of directors timeout club. Jack has said they want more members. You can call him, Jack, directly, 559-287-3305. That's his cell. Call him anytime. If he can't pick up, leave a voicemail. He'll get back to you as soon as possible. Or hit him up on the email, ferdyjack@aol.com. Also links for other sports there, timeout club, quarterback club, are joined by dugout club for baseball, for instance, other men's and women's sports as well, under ways to give. And then finally, I mentioned it earlier when talking about KFC, the critically important arm of the fundraising at Fresno State for NIL. bulldogbread.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. I bring this up because there is a Bulldog Bread that's BRED. That is also a fine endeavor, but it is not the same one. So Bulldog Bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. Chris started it, handed it off to Marcus McMarion. Marcus doing a great job. Any idea you have, any donation, any sponsorship thought you might have, Marcus wants to hear from you. Get to him. He'll get back to you as soon as possible. Anyway, thanks to Joe Cruz, everybody at Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply for allowing us the time to tell you how to donate. Thanks to our pals at Precision Civil Engineering. Also, the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And, of course, Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. All that having been said, speaking of good friends, we turn to our longtime and great friend and outstanding de facto co-host of this show and the king of all he surveys media-wise. It is Sir Jackson Moore. We just like to call him Old Barky. That's right, barkboard.com. Barky, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tony. How are you?
Just fine. I told you that Carl Ravage did not know. You and I talked last week about Crazy Crab and called him Crabby, for goodness sake, which, you know, either means that he has a bad disposition or even worse, if you know what I mean. If he's crabby, he may have to seek some sort of medical treatment. By the way, watch this segue, Faizad. Speaking of mascots, okay. Did you see what happened to the Seattle Kraken mascot?
No.
Okay, the Kraken, new to the National Hockey League, and it's been a tremendous success up in Seattle, and we know this. The great sports fans in Seattle, my brother-in-law living up there, and we know that they're going to get an NBA team back because they're NBA team. Right now, would you like to say it, Jackson, or do you want me to say it? They're NBA teams, the defending NBA champions at the moment. They're just called the Oklahoma City Thunder. I wouldn't try that up on in downtown Seattle at this point because they'll tell you, they'll talk about the Storm, the WNBA, before they'll talk about their jilted lovers that left, right? But, okay, the Kraken has done very well. So some of the, I don't know if they're Kraken players that were there or not, and I don't know why the mascot was still dressed in full mascot gear. Those are questions that other people get. They were fishing in Alaska, which is not that far away. And a grizzly bear evidently did not like the look of the mascot and started to charge him and attack him. And they all had to scurry for their lives, Jackson. Now, nothing bad happened, but one of the all-time understatements, after they're done, one of the other guys goes, you know, I think he might not have liked the look of our mascot. Okay, why in hell would your mascot be dressed as your mascot while you're out there fishing? Would you like to answer that one? Because I don't have one for you. So, all right. Tales of the mascots. Do you have anything else you want to address with that before we get started?
I think that covers it.
Okay, thank you very much. Better than the Peter Alice story, better than the Joe Torre, Billy Crystal story, and better than the Ron Tugnut story? Any of those you want to follow up on in the last few weeks? You can't wait for summer to end, can you? So we can get back to real sports. All right. That having been said, I had a number of emails asking, since you being the intrepid reporter you are, and I mentioned this, that it practiced for Fresno State. If you'd put that Bobby Valentine mustache on, you might be able to stay longer. And you'd be damn handsome with that. Maybe a cowboy hat, too. But the question was, what happened with Pat Hill? I mean, Pat was out there with Teddy, so Teddy and Pat were out there, and Pat has his arm in a sling. Exactly what has gone south there to my great friend?
I just had, from my understanding, some surgery on his arm or shoulder, you know, in that sling. So just some routine surgery, repairing that, and getting back up to speed.
Now, does Zach do the surgery? That's what I'm curious about. That he did. I'm just wondering. You know, I mean, that really needs to be addressed. But Pat, if you're listening, if your son was the one who did the surgery, are you concerned that if there are any issues, he might want to get even at that particular point? Because I know this, I would not want to be passed out and have my son have a weapon in front of me. You understand what I'm saying? Scalpel alone, I would be scared enough. But so he didn't clarify that. But he is doing, all kidding aside, he is doing okay, right?
Yeah, he's been out there almost every day taking in practice. And maybe he has been out there every day. So almost every day I've been out there, I've noticed him watching usually the offensive line and making his rounds. So seems to be in good spirits despite the swing.
Now, see, that's why I asked the question, because I thought maybe what happened is Pat got down in the three-pointer, down the three-point stance, and pulled something in the upper shoulder or something like that. You know, I don't. Listen, I'm making fun of him, and I tore a bicep tendon with a cane. Okay, I'm supposed to make fun of him? I don't think so. All right, so there's something about being elderly that doesn't work out real well. But he and Teddy look like they're having a good time. Did you have a chance to talk to him about the team at all?
Yeah, I did not. When I saw him, I took as many photos as I could to share with the Red Wave before I got kicked out. So, but they were definitely hanging out and looking. They were looking at the O-line together for a while, and it's always nice to see Coach Hill, and it was really nice to see Coach Shedford as well. It's a little rarer than seeing Pat out there.
Okay, then here's the other question about this. By force of habit, the minute they saw you, did they point to security and say, "This guy, out"? What about that? No? Okay.
I tried not to disturb them too much, but I definitely wanted to get some footage of that. We just don't see that every day.
Well, I'm glad they were out there. And like I said, Pat, if you want to come on and explain to me how you suffered that injury, you know what? You're always welcome. You know that for sure. And we're now within a few weeks of the season, so I'm sure he'll be ready to go by the time they kick it off in Lawrence, Kansas in a few weeks. All right, speaking of that, Jackson, I want to get back to the quarterbacking situation. The Quada had a piece in the B, and Joe Davis was mentioning the criteria that they have right now is they really want a lot of adjustment at the line of scrimmage, so that leads one to think the most experienced quarterback, if you've talked before, who is Warner, is probably the guy who's going to be the starter. But before we get there, since I tried to get to this the other day with you and didn't have enough time, I talked yesterday about it. Certainly it's an issue that's going to come up over and over again about the stadium. Paul and I were talking about it. I understand all the limitations financially and what have you. But right now, Jackson, if you had your druthers, would you prefer that you stay the course, Fresno State stays the course with the current stadium and tries to retrofit everything so that you have more amenities, so that you've got more seating, or is it time to look at a different location around campus and start over again, understanding that it is a monumental task financially, but nothing is going to be easy? Which way would you prefer this thing goes if you had a choice?
I was, of course, grown up knowing nothing else besides Bulldogs / Valley Children's Stadium, and it would be nice to see it exist in some fashion, an upgraded fashion. I've been on board with just about all the different renovation projects that they've put out there, and unfortunately, we haven't seen much of them come to fruition. I know the infrastructure of the stadium is very poor for modern amenities,
right,
and the type of things that you would need in a stadium. So there's just so many different logistics and challenges with both options. It's still, I think they're wrestling and juggling a lot of the options that they might have and trying to find the money for either of them. But I think Oregon State went this route. It's something I wouldn't mind seeing. It's kind of addressing one side of the stadium, perhaps.
Right.
So,
yeah.
At least that's one way where if it's a really long-term project, you're not homeless, just a football team for a season. You might have at least half your stadium, and it might be one way to really have one side of it be really, really nice, and then when the funds come, address the other side when they get there. But, I'm not sure. There might even be some challenges with that as far as infrastructure. I know they looked into maybe getting Wi-Fi for the stadium, and without certain amenities below the stadium and all the cement and everything, there's like a $10 million idea. So they've just been running into so many of those things that if you could either start fresh or maybe take down half the stadium and start fresh there, at least. It's probably kind of the route you got to go. I just think probably especially the west side, I'm just not sure if in condition to be renovated. You may have to make wholesale changes if you're talking about the press box and getting layers into the stadium. It's going to be tough to physically alter what you've already got, I think.
Well, and look, your points are well taken, and a couple of things here. You know, Steve Martin long ago had the bit about you could, have $1 million and not pay taxes, right? This is when $1 million actually meant something, Jackson, a long time ago, okay? Because I know you make that in your sleep these days. And his whole premise was, to his world-famous, I forgot. His whole deal was you made a $1 million, you didn't pay taxes. When the IRS came after you, said, I forgot, all right, and that was going to work out for you, okay? But his premise, when he started, he'd say, okay, all right, first you get $1 million. Okay, now that's the start of this, okay? Well, it's the same thing here, right? Okay, first you're going to have Mega Millions in order to renovate, or Mega Millions in order to build new. So I understand before you jump on it at TDAN1 at ATT.net that the financial aspects may govern everything. But again, first you get your money, okay, so one way or another. So let's make that a given and look at the nuts and bolts. What you're bringing up about Oregon State is interesting, because I brought up yesterday one of the problems you're going to have if you don't start anew, and I remember walking in to new Bulldog Stadium for the first time and being very impressed. And again, it was 30,000 seats at that time. You still had the berms, the grass berms behind the end zones. You know, I mentioned this a couple times last week as well. The original artist rendering of this stuff was going to be, well, the Bulldogs were still at Ratcliffe Stadium because the 77 team, of course, was the stadium builder team. That's the team that won and gave it the impetus to move forward through the hierarchy of Fresno State and the fundraising. But the idea was a 20,000-seat stadium. But by the time it was time to put it in the ground, 30 seemed to be reasonable, and it was. And it seems to me that it wasn't that long ago, Jackson, and then I realized that was rolling in at the start of the 80s, so we are, 45 years or thereabouts, so it is. It's been a substantially long amount of time, and because of it, I would rather have them start over again somewhere else on campus, because I think the retrofitting of the infrastructure is going to be so incredibly difficult. We've already seen what happened in the one end zone with the pipes and all of that, and everything else that has to be brought up to standard. You know, Jackson, one of the things that happened when Bulldog Stadium first opened, a crowd mic from one of the announcers was inadvertently knocked off a ledge and went down into the stands, and luckily did not hit anybody. It was one of the old heavy mics. And so the solution was, well, we'll just put a little screening, right? A little catwalk, a little catch around, so that in case anything fell, it would be grabbed before it fell below. And that's not a major expense. It was going to be a little bit of expense. But when the university went to do it, Jackson, they were told, you know what? If you put that catwalk there, it has to be built to sustain the weight of an average person, which I think was 165, 180 pounds, somewhere in there. And all of a sudden, that relatively small expense turned into a real large expense, because even though the argument was, who in the world is going to try to walk in that? Doesn't matter. If you have to bring it up to standard, it'll have to be that. When I look at all the things in this stadium, Jackson, in addition to the fact that, as we've said, if you go up, the earthquake standards come in. Because it's one thing to fill in the bowl. It's another thing to start going up all over the place. To me, it makes more sense to go somewhere else on campus. But I know it's cost, not impossible, but cost difficult and then some, okay? But toward your point, and I brought it up yesterday, if you can't do what Oregon State did, and they had a similar problem, and that is there wasn't a stadium close to Corvallis they could use, Jackson, if you don't build somewhere else where you can still use Bulldog Stadium while you complete the other one, if you can't do half a stadium or whatever, what are you going to do? Go play at Buchanan? What are you going to do for those years?
Yeah, you don't have too many options. I mean, maybe playing at Chicanty Park just might be the biggest, the nicest type of venue you could put it at, but still you're talking about less than half of the attendance that you would be able to utilize. So, yeah, it's not a great backup or alternative, but certainly. I know the university, the past administration, had looked at the viability of maybe having a stadium out there on Chestnut and Barstow with some of the land out there, and it just seemed like the dollar figure was too out of reach to get, but you know, there could be some creative ways to work with the partner and develop the land and be able to pay back over a amount of time. So there's some ways maybe to make it work, but then you also, as you mentioned, you've got a lot of ESU and state hurdles you've got to go through with each step of this way. So I don't think there's any easy answer, and each plan needs some contingencies, and it's just at least refreshing. It sounds like Garrett Classy is going through all the options and seeing what's there, and it would seem like there's at least some leads for him to be speaking publicly about some of this stuff in what seems to be a pretty encouraging manner. So hopefully all of this comes into some sort of project and fruition that Bulldog fans can enjoy in the near future.
Well, just that, like I said, 45 years on the one hand doesn't seem that long ago. In reality, it is a good long time ago. And because of it, if at all possible, I would think you would try. You can financially set it up to get yourself a new stadium. But you know what? Like I said, I'm not the one who's got to go out there and get that money. And I also know that for the state, yeah, you know, we've seen what happened at San Diego State and at San Jose State, and I don't know where Fresno State sits in that regard. And we talk about tying things in to the academic end, and it's a lot of it, Jackson, is, you know, not what you know, but who you know. And so we'll see what they can get done. I just know this from talking to everybody. It can't go much longer. I think you're probably in agreement, whether it's going to be a retrofitting of the station or of the stadium or starting all over again. There are too many needs at that stadium right now, infrastructure-wise, to ignore, correct? I mean, independent of the amenities that you need to be competitive financially, there are infrastructure issues there that have to be addressed, right?
I believe so. And the odd part about all of this is that if you're just talking about the player experience in the Mountain West or the Pac-12, there's not too many other stadiums that sit as many fans or as full or as raucous of an environment. If you're talking to the team, they have their own needs. I'm sure they probably, Coach Tedford oftentimes referred to them maybe having a new team facility that's just in the new stadium. But if you're talking about fan experience and keeping people from making excuses not to come out, I mean, that's a big part of it. And so there's certainly quite a bit that needs to be addressed on that end to make sure that the crowds stay and those tickets keep getting sold.
Well, that's why the guys up in the high-end seats, I'm talking about administratively, make the bucks they do to make the decisions they're going to have to make with bonds or whatever it might be. We'll see what happens. By the way, the final note on this for the moment comes from Benito and Reedley, who referred to the grass berms in the end zones back when the stadium first opened up. Said also called the mountain slide down the wet grass during the Raisin Bowl. Yes, that's right. That's right. It was entertainment and then some for people that were able to take their cardboards. It was kind of memories of what it used to be like at the Fresno District Fair in the 60s, where you could slide down the berms. And what you see, by the way, at the Little League World Series, if you see what they do in Williamsport all the time, right? So, yeah, it was a lot of fun. And also, it was something where you needed those seats, that's for sure. That was the good news. And but one final question for you, Jackson. If you had to choose between more seating or more amenities, I'd asked Furtick about this last week, would you rather see 20,000 more seats, or would you rather see the high-end, greater luxury boxes and all the other things around a stadium, whether you're starting over again or retrofitting? What's your preference?
Yeah, you know, I think the 40,000 number is important. I think it kind of makes Fresno State stick out as a group of five school that has its own stadium that is of that number and gets filled pretty regularly. It would seem more likely that that number might shrink and expand through all this, whether it be a new stadium or a renovation. Citizen talks about high 30s at times of a final product through some previous plans, which is still pretty close to 40 at least. And Fresno State seems to, I mean, they've been selling out the stadium pretty regularly the last couple of years, but if it was a 50,000-seat stadium, I'm not sure another 9,000 tickets could sold each one of those weeks. It's kind of just been enough to sell it out for most of these games in recent years. So I think amenities, and probably it's not something the normal fan probably wants to hear, but you know, luxury seating I think is a big deal. There's just not many options at Valley Children's Stadium. You've got the suites, and that's about it. Most stadiums these days are providing premium options, like within the seats. A lot of stadiums I go to for other schools, they've got kind of boxes and booths where bleachers used to be. And San Jose State's a good example of they've got that grass berm of their own on one side of the stadium, and the fans are desperate to see, you know, just you put 10 rows of bleachers in there and it would look a lot more respectable. But for that price, does that do anything for the Spartans? Whereas if they made those some sort of luxury boxes, you know, that's something that might actually bring in some revenue. So I know some of the previous renovation plans, I've looked at that. I think a combination of just kind of middle tier to upper tier seating options for people that want a more expansive experience, plus your casual amenities, your upgraded restrooms, your concessions, all the things that are certainly dated right now are going to be prioritized rather than more seats. So I would love to see the demand for more seats, and hopefully the future Fresno State football stadium or renovated stadium has an option to expand someday if needed, but I don't think there's much of a need to go beyond 40 at this point.
Well, when Pat was banging the drum back mid-first decade, say around 2005, for instance, about expansion, he was talking about 55,000, and then, of course, the luxury seating, and that would put another 15 in. And, you know, it's really tough right now to peg it because, accurately anyway, because the growth of the Valley is such that you may have a whole lot more people here in the very foreseeable future, the way things play out housing-wise, although this is hardly an affordable area these days for housing, trust me on that one. But I'm just saying that you may have more and more people, particularly if they ever get the bullet train sorted out in its entirety from San Francisco to L.A., which certainly will not be in my lifetime, which then again, that could end by 3 o'clock today for all I know. But I'm just saying, I know why Pat said what he said. I also know that when Pat Philippone was here as the general manager of the Fresno Grizzlies during the early time of the Grizzlies, after Chuck Chancey Park, Grizzly Stadium at that point, was built, the first thing he said to me was, it's too big. It's too big that for someone trying to sell season tickets, yeah, it's fine for fireworks night and opening night, but it is a soft ticket the rest of the time. I'd rather have an 8,000-seat stadium for AAA baseball where people had trouble getting tickets enough that they would buy in advance. Now, certainly those numbers do not equate to Fresno State, but Jackson, would you have any concern if you were to expand to 55 in this day and age, that it would turn it into a very soft ticket? Is that any worry you would have if you're an administrator at Fresno State? Or are you just going to say, you know what, I'd rather have it for those big nights when we do have that kind of crowd?
Yeah, I think I would be worried a little bit about it. I think I think there's also just a little bit of a difference. The sellouts of 2024 and 2023 have just been a little bit different than the sellouts of 2001, say, when Pat Hill banging that drum. Yeah, there was a time where there was a game or two, I believe they had standing room tickets and retrofitted a few extra bleachers. The ticket demand was so high to squeeze in an extra 1,000 or so people. And, you know, when they sell out recently. There's been, you look around, not every seat's filled, and it's still a great atmosphere and a great crowd and one of the best of the group of five, but it's probably closer to 38,000 or so butts and seats. It's not quite jam-packed. As you know, there's some red seats that are purchased but not being used, so I'm just not sure if the demand is there for that number right now, but hopefully you can set yourself up to where if that becomes viable down the road, that you can do it infrastructurally.
Well, I'll tell you the greatest example. November 10th, 2005, a Thursday night against Boise State, 9 days in front of that USC game, and it was a rainy, miserable Thursday night weather-wise. The game was on national TV, so every end and an early start, a 6 o'clock start for national television, and every reason for people coming off of work to stay home. And I know it was Boise State and all of that stuff, but that crowd was there early, Jackson. It was as raucous as any crowd, and there were people literally hanging off of the railings in some of the places. And you probably could have put 60,000 in there that night. The question, of course, is it sustainable? I would love to see a 55,000-seat stadium with all the amenities on it. They probably wouldn't build it that way. But to me, look, you know what Stanford did, right? You're well aware of it. Stanford built the stadium with a smaller capacity than they had, obviously, in the old stadium. The old stadium housed the Super Bowl, for goodness sake, in 1985. And I took a lot of the Apple seat cushions. I'm guilty of that. I'm sorry. I didn't know. I was there early as media. I put them all in my trunk. I mean, you know, I thought they were just extra. But the people sitting in those wooden bleachers probably were cursing me left and right. They just didn't know it was me. Point is, you know that when they built the new stadium, they built it at X number, but the ability to expand, right? You think Fresno State could do that?
Yeah. I would hope so. I'd be curious to see what you want to put together a finished product. You don't want to put something out there that looks like it's halfway done, and you'll do the rest later. But I think attendance-wise and potential-wise, you don't necessarily want to box yourself in at too small of a number either.
By the way, I attempted to put all of those cushions back, incidentally, Jackson. But at some point, you didn't want to be caught putting them back, having to explain why in the world you had them in your possession to begin with. So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it. By the way, the 49ers won the game 38-14, so it was a good night. One of the few times, by the way, that the Super Bowls turned out well for them. At least the first five turned out really good. The last three have been absolutely awful. They should be 8-0. Have I mentioned that to you a few million times? I think so. All right, real quick, we'll pick this up on Friday. But in the last couple of minutes here, you brought up Warner before. The comments that Davis made would tell me, when they talk about the experience of being able to check off at the line of scrimmage, of being able to recognize things, saying basically, you know what, anybody can hit an open receiver. We want to know who can make adjustments at the line, who can recognize a change in the defense, who can administrate on the fly, if you will. That would appear to point to Warner. Am I right about that?
I would think so. You know, I did talk to Coach Davis today as well, and you know, he had different and good things to say about each of the three quarterbacks. I think they are making it fairly difficult for them, but as far as trying to make a decision, but they haven't wavered from their plan to make a call about practice 15 and have about 2 weeks for the number one guy to get comfortable. So I do think Warner checks probably more of the boxes, but it's just tough to say without seeing some of that closed 11 on 11. You don't know if one guy is really going off behind the scenes or having a rough time. But if they are, we surely haven't heard that relayed to us. And it does sound like all three quarterbacks have had some moments over the first 11 days.
One of the things I've heard is that because of the experience that Matt Entz had previously, obviously, in North Dakota State and the great success, that this has been the type of fall camp, and I know there's still a good ways to go, but a type that the organization is such that you don't even feel like it's a new coaching staff. Is that the vibe you're getting out there, that this has been a pretty well-oiled machine right now administratively out there?
Yeah, I'd say so. It feels very familiar. Even when Kalen DeBoer, you know, it reminds me a bit of his first staff that came in. It just seemed like it was a pretty seamless transition at the time. And I think one of the most impressive things about this whole change is, you know, there wasn't, even with Coach Skipper being, you know, having a sentimental, you know, type of relationship and background with the program, it's been pretty seamless as far as getting buy-in. I think it was big to find a head coach that had a lot of similar values so that there wasn't much of a clash, and you know, there wasn't a huge portal exit, either by due to scheme or personalities. None of that's rubbed any of the returning players the wrong way throughout this whole process. And it just feels kind of like a family atmosphere out there as well. A lot of the coaches are, you know, they've got young families and kids running around, and just talking to all the players, they've been really appreciative of the way that everything's been handled, and it didn't take them long to buy in. And that's a big part of it. You even hear about Coach DeRuiter's first season when he was here. A lot of it necessarily wasn't about those coaches, but it was about the players saying, well, we've got the talent, we need to go all in and try to make it happen. So one way or another, you just need a team that's really motivated and confident, and I think Coach Jensen and his staff have made that happen here.
Well, I look forward to the season kicking off on Big Fox on the 23rd of, like I said, this month. Just nice to be able to say this month, finally, that we've gotten here. Jackson, I appreciate it. I will tell you this. There's a contest to be watched during the year, and that is who runs out of his voice completely first, Matt Entz or Nick Benedetto? Which one? I'm just curious. Is it a tie right now? Just wondering.
And Coach Entz, he's been pretty hoarse just about every time we've talked to him. Even spring day one, the other day he said, you guys keep getting me on the bad days. So I don't know if that was a joke or if he's just here had some bad luck, but it seems to go pretty quick. So I'm curious to see what Saturday sound like after games this season, if we'll be able to get much of anything.
Well, I don't think the megaphone would do any good, but, you know, the voice deal, that might be a possibility. As I let you go, we'll talk on Friday. What's going on the board here? Where are your specials at the moment?
Yeah, it's 50% off and $1 for your first month to celebrate fall camp. Got a lot going on, a lot of practice reports, and practice is going to be closed up the next few days due to the Shakira concert. Things are locked down pretty tight on campus, but we've got a lot of interviews stocked up. We're going to be having a lot of content and coverage from camp, even when we're not able to get out there for the next couple of days. So hope people check that out and get in on the discount.
Well, since I heard yesterday that Pat and Cam and Paul evidently are not going to be the backup singers for Shakira, it does open that window of opportunity for you, Jackson. So I expect fully well to see you out there. All right. So what do you think? You don't need permission. Just break through. And I'm sure you'll be very well treated once you arrive on stage. I'll have the video running. You go ahead and take care of the rest. I can see you're not in favor of this. Great. Boy, some people, you just can't ask anything of them. All right, my friend, I will talk to you on Friday. Take care. I'll see you.
You too, Tony. Thank you.
All right, DeFacto co-host Jackson Moore. Take a break, come back, tell you about the schedule, and we will send you off to Los Gigantes, who are still trying to overcome whatever happened to them in the ninth inning last night. Boy, in microcosm, if you want to talk about the Giants' season to date, all you had to do was watch what happened last night in the ninth inning. All right, we'll get to that, unfortunately, in just a moment as we take a break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Tuesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 253. I'm going to go on the show. Giants coming up on 1430. The A's over on 790. Also, Little League World Series on ESPN right now. And there's a pitcher. I don't know which team. Who is at least 6'8 and about 325 pounds, and he's probably 12 years old. Maybe a little bit of exaggeration, but this kid is huge. It reminds me of when you had a certain head football coach of the Green Bay Packers as a kid in a punt, pass, and kick in L.A. when he was 12 years old, and it looked like the travels of Gulliver, for goodness sake. He was so big compared to everybody else out there. All right, I think people know who I'm talking about. Okay, that's enough of that. Enjoy the Little League World Series. All right, they're in San Bernardino right now, of course, for the Western stuff on ESPN. Okay, as far as the reminders here before we jump on out, one, if you're on your way home and you're looking for a really good meal, our pals at KFC want to remind you again, they've got the special $7 Phillips deal going on right now during the summertime, celebrating the great movie F1, the movie with Brad Pitt. Again, for $7, you have the Phillips, which means the choice of crispy chicken, tasty tenders, or the classic famous bowl, each with a drink, sides, and even sweet pie poppers. Also, don't forget to top it off with peaches and cream sweet lightning soda. That is at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Also, Tuesdays, like today, you've got the 8-piece, $10 deal going on, including the original recipe tenders or the dark meat chicken. Either way, stop on in the KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. Pick up a bucket or two and tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, helping out everything at Fresno State. By the way, it's Andy Reid that I'm talking about, in case you're curious. It was enormous. He was as big as a kid at 12 years old as he is right now, honestly. All right, the other reminders here. As far as the schedule goes, it's courtesy of Ed Dunkel and everybody at Precision Civil Engineering. Planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all they're under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And again, it'll be year number 5 of Engineering Yardage, the great fundraiser that Ed has for the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at a proud graduate. A lot of people at Precision, graduates of the Lyles College of Engineering at Fresno State. And again, for every yard gained through the air for the last 4 years for the football team, been a donation made to the Lyles College of Engineering by Precision Civil Engineering. The goal to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully. We look forward to year number 5 kicking off in just a couple of weeks when we get started on Big Fox from Lawrence, Kansas, with Fresno State and Kansas 23rd, which is 0 week for college football. As far as schedule goes, again, the Giants have a 3:10 pre. That's why Phil will not be on today, as was the case yesterday. He'll be back with you tomorrow because the Giants have a morning game our time tomorrow. Horrific loss last night by the Giants. There was no reason to lose that game. They are now 6 back of the wild card and 3 teams to climb over. Not mathematically impossible, but it's becoming a practical impossibility if they don't get this thing turned around. We'll see what happens again today. 3:10 the pre, 3:40 the first pitch on 14:30. The A's get started in just a couple of minutes on 790 there in D.C. to play the Nationals. That is a 3 straight up pre and a 3:45 first pitch there. So we'll see the sellout crowd to watch the A's and the Nationals play in D.C. tonight. Reminder, Phil's show normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedik in Best Furniture on the Planet, the great conversation of Phil's show behind the bench, some good eats as well, El Paso across from River Park. You can always call Phil on the leesair.com hotline, which is 559-320-1430. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. First names are fine. Still behind on emails, guys. I'll do the best I can. I can't address them privately these days with the back issues, but I certainly can try to get to you over air as quickly as possible, so keep them coming in. Also, Paul Metters will be returning this Saturday with his fine show, Central Valley Sports Report, live from First Ring Sports, 10 a.m. to noon on Saturdays on 1430. He has been on a hiatus for the summertime, but back as football gets started all across the valley. Everything for the station, 1430ESPNFresno.com. You'll find the live links and podcast there. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. And then finally, I want to remind you again about the very important monies that need to be gathered through bulldogbred.com, the collective that Marcus McMurrian took over as Chris started it at the station, handed it off to the Bulldog great from a few years ago. Chris, of course, a Bulldog great in the 80s. And Marcus McMurrian wants to hear from you. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, bulldogbred.com, bread as in on the table, BREAD.com. Thanks to Jorge. Thanks, as always, to Jackson. Jack Furtig with me tomorrow. And the quick thank yous go out as we wrap it up to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, the local operators at KFC, Fresno Club of Selma and Kerman, and our buddies at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Thanks to one and all. We will see you guys tomorrow. Enjoy baseball on both stations on KFIG Fresno.